Well, I suppose some of you are wondering, what in the world is he going to say after Michael? I don't know. I did write down a few notes as Mike was speaking. You have to wonder how many, when a word like Mike spoke, you have to wonder how many actually hear that word. And if you can't hear it and if you can't understand it, I want to assure you that's okay. There is such an awakening taking place. I've been saying that for some time. So I want to title my message today, The Great Awakening, because that's what's happening. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and powerful, living and operative, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's not talking about the Bible, folks. The Word of God is that which God speaks to you. The Spirit can speak to you out of the Bible. That becomes a word to you. But the black and white letters is simply the writings from a man about God to the best of his ability and with the anointing. The Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. And it's the only thing that will bring change and cause you to be a living, vibrating, awesome being on the earth, is to hear the Word within your own being. And when you hear the Word, knock some sense into me. When you...
Would you repeat that?
When you hear the Word, what you're actually hearing is your own spirit speaking and revealing truth to you. Yes. It's not coming from a God out there somewhere. Yes. Truth is who you are. I was thrilled when I heard Michael, one of the first things he mentioned, in fact, it was the first thing I think, was that in China, he sensed a vibration or a quickening. And that's what's causing the great awakening to take place on the earth today. The vibrational essence of the whole earth today is increasing, and it has been. Now, we don't look for change, and we know the world will never change and accept what we have to say. One of the greatest reliefs that came to me years ago was when I give up trying to change anything, especially people. I used to think when I was first called into ministering to people that I thought that my message was to bring change to people. You can't do that. The Word spoken under the anointing and by the Spirit is the only thing that will bring change. And when you realize that, you'll give up trying to bring change to anybody. You'll know it can't be done. I don't understand quantum physics, but I've read quite a bit about it. And I'm really excited about what is being discovered by quantum physics, because they have discovered that everything has come from one source. And everything, no matter what it is, has a vibration and a frequency. And the higher the frequency, Well, let me say this first. The lower the frequency, the more density you have. The rocks are vibrating at a very low density. And there are some precious stones that vibrate at a higher density. And that's why what we call the New Age movement or the New Age people discovered years ago that certain precious stones have vibrations that can be beneficial to you. I was challenged to try this. Michael's got a, if it's still there, isn't that a huge crystal?
Yeah, it's not there now. It's
you threw him out?
No, I still have it, but my housekeeper's moved it. I don't even know where it is.
Oh, no.
It's still vibrating wherever it's at.
But there are certain stones that even if you keep them on your presence, will be a benefit to you from their vibration.
Tourmaline.
Now, when I first heard talk like this, I thought people were absolutely nuts. And if you're not afraid to experience some of these things, you'll learn a lot. Everything in the universe is vibrating, and there's frequency everywhere. Your voice is a frequency. And when we're able to tune in to the right vibration or frequency, which you can't do, it has to be revealed by the Spirit, is when you begin to realize experientially that you are not a human. You are a spiritual being. The more awakened your consciousness is, the higher you will vibrate. You will. Mike sensed some of it. Isn't that what you said? You sensed a higher vibration. And remember, the lower the vibration, the more density and dense. The higher the vibration, the less dense. You had to lower your vibration to enter this physical realm. What's going to happen when your vibration is raised to what it was before you came here?
Disappear.
You'll disappear.
Yeah.
As Michael said, God is not coming to this world. God is not interested in this world. God does not look at what's going on in this world, but he is interested in the earth. You know there's a difference between the earth and the world.
Yes.
We know, in fact, even Scripture says that God is interested not in this world, but in the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Mike says you can't have a relationship with God. Try it. Now, you may think you have, because I used to think that when I heard God speak or I had a revelation, I was thinking I had a relationship with God. You only have a relationship with Spirit, and that Spirit is in you and it's in every other being on the earth. You cannot have a relationship with a God. And that is the only thing that religion has tried to teach us for thousands of years. Even before Jesus came, religion has been on the earth since the beginning. Man has always tried to find his way back to God through what he does and what he believes rather than knowing who he is. You see, if religion had taught us who we were from the very beginning, and we had have got a revelation of our true being, we'd probably all be gone by now. The key, one of the keys, is not only to know who you are, but where you came from. Well, if you know who you are, you know where you came from. There's a scripture that I read years ago that really gave me some understanding and talks about the men of faith in Hebrews. And at the end of Hebrews 11, about verse 15, it says, if, talking about all these men of faith who died without receiving the promise, looking for a city. They weren't looking for a physical city. But it said, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. See, there's a people on the earth today that know where they came from. And you knowing where you came from, you definitely have the opportunity to return. But you can't do anything to make it happen. You can't pray, you can't strive, you can't study scripture, you can't do anything to make it happen. It's just going to happen. Why are there people today all over the earth, and we have contacts right now in over 100 countries of the world, why are people today so acceptable to what is being said? Not the religious people, by any means. The reason is because the vibrational essence of the whole earth is rising. And as consciousness ascends, it affects the whole world. You don't have to be concerned if you didn't understand a word that Michael said today. I can promise you it doesn't matter, because the very fact that you're willing to sit and listen to two guys who might sound crazy, you're already in. It really doesn't matter if you understand it. The natural man, what did Mike say? The natural man cannot possibly hear the things and understand the things of spirit. So don't try. I tried for years to understand and to be a good Christian. I never made it. But I know you've heard me say many times, those of you who have known me, that on July 11th, 1982, I woke up realizing that all I had prayed for, all I had strived for, all I had cried and begged God for 13 years, I already was. You see, when you understand your true being, you talk about relief. Never again do you have to try to be good. You don't have to cry and beg God to take this away from you. All of that stuff, you realize, my God, I am. That's what I am. I am all that He is. That's a vibrational shift. That's an energy shift. And I can promise you, you've all experienced it to a degree. And it's only going to get more and more real. We don't look at the things that are seen, because as Mike says, they're temporal. Anything that can change cannot be eternal. Paul said it this way, for we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal. But that which is truth is eternal. I went through the phase at one time of, trying to believe that there was such a thing as never dying, that these bodies would live forever. I can promise you, not true. But I can also promise you this. The more your vibrational level is increased, the less density that you will become. And when your vibrational essence increases to the max, you will disappear. You might ask me, how do I know that? I know that. That's not a pipe dream. This body may fall away and go into the grave, but I tell you what, if my vibration is raised enough, I will disappear. And we will be fully at that time into the kingdom realm. So the kingdom, again, I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting Mike, because I'm not. The kingdom of God has nothing to do with this world. Nothing at all. But the kingdom is being established on the earth. The kingdom has nothing to do with worldly kingdoms. There are two kinds of people today on the earth, and we're either one or the other, and most of us today are a mixture. There's people who either live by the law of love or the law of the ego. That's all there is, love and ego. And like I say, most of us are still a mixture. And, you know, Jesus said some of the most wisest things. I tell people all the time, if you just cut the red out of the Bible and read that, and let it infiltrate your consciousness, you'd never need anything else. Jesus said, unless you become as little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That got me for a long time. But Robert said yesterday, a little child, he doesn't know black or white, gay or straight, rich or poor. And has no judgment. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you must become as a child. You just become love. Not only become love, you become an expression of love. Tell you folks, for years, I thought I was a human doing my best to be like Jesus. I can promise you, you can't. But if the veils come off of our eyes, we'll realize being as Christ on the earth is not an effort. Not at all. We have been taught and believed ignorance for at least 2,000 years, and before Christ, even before that. I once did a thorough study on spiritual truth. So I had to go into Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, all the different religions. And if you dig deep enough, you'll find at the source, not of what they are today, but at the source of them, they all believed like we're beginning to come into today. They believed in the oneness and the God being the source of all things. And a lot of times we even misunderstand the teachings of different religions because of a lot of times terminology. But I always thought, for instance, let's take the Hindus. I always thought Hindus, they have 1,000 gods. And they worship 1,000 gods. If you talk to a spiritual Hindu, not a religious Hindu, but a spiritual Hindu, he will tell you, brother, we don't worship those idols. They represent different characteristics and manifestation of the one God. Just like you do. We are told that there was no real religion on the earth before Christianity. Jesus is the only one who brought the truth. Haven't you been taught that? And if you don't believe him and you don't accept him, it doesn't matter how much God loves you, you ain't got a chance of a snowball in hell. You're done. Many of you will be familiar with the man called Augustine, Saint Augustine. Now, there were many early church fathers who knew the truth and taught the truth, but you can't even find their writings today. I'm going to read you something that St. Augustine said that you probably wouldn't be able to find today in most writings that are attributed to him. St. Augustine said, "That which is known as the Christian religion existed among the ancients and never did not exist. From the very beginning of the human race until the time when Christ came in the flesh, at which time the true religion, which already existed, began to be called Christianity." St. Augustine wrote that. I've often said, and I know I'm greatly misunderstood when I say this, but I mean it, Christianity is the greatest scam ever perpetrated upon the Christian people. It's an absolute scam. Because to be a Christian, you have to be divisive. You can only believe certain things. You can only believe that Jesus is the only one who can help you, that all that came before him are thieves and robbers. I had somebody tell me that once, and they quoted scripture. Jesus himself said, "All that came before me are thieves and robbers." I said, "Well, then how about Elijah and, you know, all the prophets? They came before Jesus. Were they all thieves and robbers?" We have to break down the barriers of religious thinking to ever begin to experience and walk in the kingdom of God on the earth today. Most people think you have to die and go somewhere else. We're told that Jesus was the first and only Son of God who brought us the message of salvation. That is absolutely not true. Now, I would not for one moment try to devalue anything that Jesus said or did. But if you think he's the only one that spoke truth, you are sadly mistaken. You've all heard of Buddha, right? The Buddhist religion? Buddha taught the Sermon on the Mount 600 years before Jesus ever came on the scene. See, God has been sending men to this dense physical world for centuries trying to reveal the truth to them. And what do? They make a religion out of it. They did the same thing to Jesus as they've done to every other prophet or man of God that came on the earth. They make a religion out of it and try to make you think that that is the only way. And I don't care whether it's when I was in the Lutheran church, I was told as a child, the Lutherans are the ones that have the truth. Because they believe in justification by faith. You can't do anything to earn your faith. And that's a wonderful truth. But to think you're the only one that has the truth. When I first went into Pentecost, this was back in 69 or early 70. When I went into Pentecost, I used to say, "Thank God we're out of religion." Had no idea that I just went from the firing pan into the fire. Because I was more restricted and put under rules and regulations, and what I had to do to stay in God's favor. And one day I discovered that Pentecost was Satan's favorite. It was his favorite religion. Because if you've been a part of it, you'll remember this. All the testimonies that people would stand up and say, "How, boy, Satan got me today. He's after me today. He's after my children. Pentecost will absolutely destroy your faith, if you have any, and teach you what you must do to be godly. It'll destroy you. It almost destroyed me. If I hadn't at a young age learned to hear and trust my own heart and anointing, I wouldn't be here today. I stayed in religion for many years knowing the truth that I know today. Not really experiencing it a whole lot, but I knew the truth because God began to speak to me right after I first had an experience in 1969. It hadn't been for that, I guarantee you, I would have been destroyed by religion. I came close to it anyway. Don't think that you can be saved through religion. I want to read something to you. Now again, this does not take anything away from Jesus. I spent a lifetime trying to be like him. So I would never take anything away from him. But you must realize that God throughout the centuries have sent men to reveal the truth. He sent me. He sent you. God didn't. The only begotten Son of God that came to reveal the truth to the nations is a corporate man. The Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world is a corporate man, and you were included. We were taught that Jesus was the special Son and special man of God. I have to tell you, he is not any more special than you are. Oh my God, if you could see the truth of your being. If you could ever see the true spiritual being that you are, you would never again doubt your value. This is an ancient scripture of the Persians from the Zend Avesta. And I quote, "You, my children, shall be the first honored by the manifestation of that divine person who is to appear in the world. A star shall go before you to conduct you to the place of his nativity. And when you find him, present to him your oblations and sacrifices, for he is indeed your Lord and an everlasting King." See, the Jews weren't the only one looking for a Savior. What I just read to you was written ancients before Christ ever came. That does not nullify what he came to do. It just, to me, it just verifies that God has, since the inception of man's being lowered into the physical realm, has sent others to try to reveal to them the truth. And like Mike said, that is why Jesus was crucified. He did not die for your sin. You were never a sinner. I often say the only sin there is, and one definition of sin is missing the mark. The only sin there is your mistaken identity. Yes. You functioning out of a lower vibrational, what we call a human carnal consciousness. That's the only sin there is. There is no other. Once you awaken, even to a small degree, to the truth of your being, you won't be able to condemn yourself anymore. How could you? You've made a lot of mistakes, and you've been mistaken. You've not known who you are. You've not known that God does not even look at your condition. I'll never forget the day. One of the days that I was so down and so disheartened, and I was weeping and crying over my condition. And I heard, "Gary, I do not look at where you are today. I do not look at your faults or your conditions. But I look way past your mind, your emotion, and your will. And I look deep down on the inside of you. And I see the essence of my being that I've placed in you. And I shall continue to feed you and water you and nourish you until one day you can stand up and boldly declare that you are a son of the living God, that you are here to reveal the loveliness of the Father. I got to read this. I had never read this verse from this translation. When I find something like this, I'll take this home and I'll probably meditate on it for days. Therefore, I beg of you, please, brethren, through the instrumentality of the aforementioned never-ending love of the Father, by a once-for-all presentation, place your bodies at the disposal of Spirit. Trust the Father within you. A sacrifice. Lay it down. So you can know a living one, a holy one. Stop assuming you are an outward expression that does not come from within you and is not representative of what you really are in your inner being. What you think you are is patterned after this age. Change your outward expression to the one that comes from within. Oh gosh, do that. You know that within you is the pureness, is the essence, is the magnificence, is the expression of all that God is. Begin to speak from that realm and that area. Begin to speak from your heart that which you know to be the truth. By the renewing your consciousness, resulting in your putting to the test what is the desire of your own spirit within you. Don't let that go. Don't ever let it go. Nothing can compare to the essence of His love that will well up within you as you begin to hear and understand the truth. We're shaking off the bondages that have held us for years, thinking that we're not good enough. But if you remember when you're not good enough, God doesn't even know that. He doesn't look at that. He doesn't care about that. The only thing the divine spirit is interested in is that preciousness of His essence that you are. And that is why He will continue to feed you and bring men like Michael to you to wake you up to the truth of your being. And you don't have to try. Just be open. I often tell people, you don't have to believe what I say, but at least go before whatever you consider God is. Go before whatever your concept of God is. Go into the quiet and just ask, could this be the truth? Could I really be, as this man is saying? Is it possible to have that kind of love manifest? Yeah. All you have to do is ask. He says, if you ask for a fish, will I give you a stone? We have believed so many things just because we've been taught. You can't even be a good Christian if you don't tithe. That's one of the biggest scams that Christianity has ever portrayed upon you, amen, is to make you believe you have to tithe your finances. If you go back and see what the tithe was in the beginning, it had nothing to do with money. It only had to do with the first fruits of the field that was given to feed the priests of that day. They didn't get out and collect money. And we're taught so much about the Antichrist. Oh my God. This is John Hagee teaching today about the Antichrist that's coming. Back in about 1970, I was trying to figure out who the Antichrist was by reading the different books and stuff on him. And, you know, some said it was a pope, and some said it was a whole Catholic church, and some said it was a political system. And could somebody grab me a Kleenex? And so I had read some books on the rapture. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, where he'll come from. Thank you. And I realized one day, as I'm sure many of you have, I heard you are the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is not an individual. The Antichrist is a corporate being. And it's that man who does not know who he is and stands in opposition to Christ. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. You see, before you can ever awaken, that great falling away must come. Everything that you think you are and you think you were and everything you have to become must fall away, that man of sin be revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work, who only now will let be until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That destroys your Antichrist, the brightness of his coming. He is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And as that light in you increases, as the knowledge and the wisdom of God increases, and that light begins to infiltrate every area of your being, it destroys the image of the Antichrist between your ears. That's the truth of the Antichrist. We're not waiting for some man to rise up out of the east and declare himself to be God. Men have been doing that for ages. It all depends on what consciousness you're coming from when you say things. Like Jesus said, it is written, ye are gods. Yet you will fall and die like men because you don't know who you are. You know, we are all at different stages of spiritual growth and understanding. That's why if you're a Baptist, it's okay to be a Baptist. It really is. As long as you're happy and satisfied there, it's okay. When Carol and I was in church, we spent all our days at work and all our nights at church working. We'd go to church twice on Sunday morning and hear the preacher preach the same message twice. We absolutely love church. Until that light within got a little brighter. And we come into a greater understanding. And we still had a hard time leaving church. We didn't leave for a long time. But the light just kept getting brighter. And we got so we could not sit and listen to the man preach that stupid Christian stuff. You know, it's often said you can't fix stupid. But if you're ignorant, you can be enlightened. Most theological doctrines divide. I think many of you know I used to manage one of the largest Christian bookstores in the country. So I met a lot of preachers. And I had one of the preachers come to me one day and asked me if I would. We had a lot of private conversation. He said, "Brother, I need to have you come and speak to the church." And I thought, a Baptist church? But we had such good fellowship, you know, I told him, okay, I'll do that. And then before I came to the church, he asked me, he said, "By the way, do you believe in Jesus only?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, I knew what he meant. He said, "Do you believe that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus only or the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?" I said, "Well, to me, it doesn't make any difference. Because if I'm baptized in the name of Jesus, that's the fullness of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Yes. Mm-hmm. He withdrew my invitation to speak at the church. However, now this is a difference in pastors. I was asked to speak at another Baptist church. And it was a wonderful experience. I mean, as I spoke, you could just see people begin to raise up in their seats, and you could see life come in their eyes. And after that message was over, that pastor came to me and offered me the church. He said, "You have done more for these people in one message than I've done all the years I'm here." Don't you want to hear that kind of report? You say, "Brother, you better be careful. You're going to get into pride." You can't be prideful when God is working in you. No. You can be prideful if you did it.
Amen.
But once you know God is living and speaking and operating in you, you can be proud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's right.
God help us when we think that the Bible is infallible. Oh. I won't even touch on that one. Thinking that you need a pastor over you who always speaks for God. I've experienced that so much. I started I was so hungry for God when I first went into Pentecost, and we only had two meetings a week, Sundays and Wednesdays. So I started a little fellowship in my home, and things started to happen. I mean, good things. And I won't tell you what they were, but they were good things. The pastor heard about it. And he came to me and he said, "Gary, you got to stop those meetings." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I'm too busy to be there. And it's so easy for you to get deceived by the devil." I believed it, so I shut it down. I mean, we had wonderful things happening in our midst. But you see, we're taught from infant Christians that you have to follow and do what the pastor says. He has the training and the knowledge to guide you into all truth. He's got the guidance and the knowledge to keep you in bondage for the rest of your life if you don't break free. I was taught that I had to belong to an organized church. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." One day I realized that didn't say church. It says wherever two or three are gathered together. There I am. We have to quit listening to our own mind that always tells us you're not good enough. We'll always tell you that. Until you realize the truth of your being, and that voice doesn't have a chance to condemn you anymore. Well, Jesus said a lot of things about you, and he wasn't talking about your humanity. You see, as we said, the carnal mind cannot really apprehend or understand the things of God. Well, you see, we don't preach to the natural mind. We have nothing to say to the natural mind. Every word we speak to the truth of your being. Because we know the truth of your being, and what you are outwardly in the carnal realm does not matter. Because when your spirit hears the truth, your mind may disagree, but your spirit, eventually your spirit will begin to ascend within you, and you will come into an understanding of what has been said to you maybe a long time ago. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." How many can believe that? If you can't believe that, what does that tell you? You still believe you're human. I can promise you, I am the light of the world. When I say I don't mean this personal sense of life. There is no such thing. But that which you are an absolute shining beacon light to the world. And once you understand that, you will become that light. A city located on a hill can't be hidden but on a stand, and it shines to all who are in the house. Even so, let your light shine. Why don't we do that? It's called self-awareness. We're so aware of ourself, of our failures, of our inabilities. We're so aware of being incapable of letting anything of value shine out of us. I'll tell you what, if you haven't experienced it yet, that's soon going to pass. Because I can promise you, the vibrations of the earth are bringing an awareness and a consciousness and an ascension to the whole world. Not to the world system, but to the people of the earth. Don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. See, you can say that. And you can know that. We are here to fulfill the law. I sometimes say to people, I just love the law. And they look at me like, but see, there's two laws. There's the law of Moses, and there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Amen. And now I love that law. Because that law of the Spirit of life, that you are, rises above the law of sin and death. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. Now, we can hear them, but we got to hear them. Everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rains came down, the floods came. All the stormy thoughts and all the negative thoughts, they come and pound and pound and pound on your head. But if you're walking in the reality, if you're walking in the truth, even if you're walking towards the truth, you're not all the way there yet. The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it didn't fall because it was found upon the rock. I'm going to tell you what the rock is, too, and it's not Peter. One day Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember what Jesus said to him? Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father revealed this to you. And upon this rock I will build my church. Now the Catholic said, oh, Peter was a rock. Even his name was changed to a rock. And so the Catholic religion was based on the belief that Peter was the rock that the church was built on. A total misconception of what Jesus said. Peter said, thou art the Christ. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Upon the what rock? The rock of the revelation of Christ in a man. That's the rock. So you don't build the church on humanity. Psalm 119. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You think he's talking about the law of Moses? He might have been, but I'm not. I can meditate on the law of my being, the law of love, the law of life, the law of light, the law of embracing all of humanity. Not being able to see black or white or gay or straight or rich or poor. You see Christ. Yes. Sometimes you have to shut your eyes to see that. But even if you don't see it, you can know that's the truth. Oh, in Psalm 119, oh, how sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's how we're to love the Word of God. And you will if you don't. The law is not something we keep by trying to better ourselves. The law is in your heart and in your mouth. That if you will confess with your mouth, Father, I'm so thankful to know, even though I may not experience it, I'm so thankful to know that I am the light, I am the life, I am the love. I'm so thankful to know the truth of who I really am. And I'm so grateful that who I thought I was is beginning, not totally, but at least beginning to fall away. So that man of sin that I was can be revealed. And by the breath of your mouth, by the fire of your words, you can destroy that carnal man. Bob and Charlotte Tarangio wrote a song many, many years ago. I'm raising up in my house again, bringing salvation without sin, tearing down that carnal man in every temple where he stands. I'm raising up in a brand new word with a voice you've never heard. I'm raising up in my house again. They wrote that song probably 30, 35 years ago. And when I first heard it, I thought, oh, that would be so wonderful. But what a difference it is to wish for something and to have it. God bless you all. Amen. I'm so grateful to be here. Michael was the first man I've ever heard that could help me understand what I've been experiencing for years. Not in a great way. I'm sure there's more like you, Mike, but I haven't met him. Mike has been more encouraging to me than any man I've ever met, and I've met a lot of them. I've known a lot of the greats in the Christian world, but I've never had anyone able to reveal to me the truth as Michael has, and I appreciate that. Amen.
Well,